Welcome to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. Today on your show, the value of mentoring and a musical career story, plus career guidance from your co-workers. Hi, I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at careercycles.com, a career management social enterprise. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz. Thanks for tuning in this morning. If you or anyone you know has a creative gift in music, art, performance, or anything else, then you won't want to miss our interview with Luis Figueroa. Luis is a gifted musician and from an early age knew he wanted a career in music. He's now a drummer for neo-psychedelic gypsy rock group Arizona Lily and guitarist for the Duck Duck Goose Band. Stay tuned to the second half of today's show to hear how Luis makes music, works as a music teacher, and a specialty taco maker. Plus, join in the Career Buzz conversation on getting career advice from coworkers, the good, the bad, and the ugly, later in the show. But first, want to boost your self-confidence, expand your professional network, and move forward in your career? Sean Mintz is founder of Mentor City, an online mentor matching company. His business helps thousands of people achieve greater success. From a position in employment services, Sean moved his career into social entrepreneurship, and he was profiled in Canadian Newcomer magazine. Sean Mintz joins me live in studio. Welcome, Sean.
Oh, thank you, Mark. It's great to be here today.
So what do you like about your career these days?
Well, I love everything about my career. I've been an entrepreneur for about a year, and it's been, I want to try something. I want to really challenge myself, put myself out there, and build something from scratch. And that's what I've done with Mentor City. So every day is a new challenge, and it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. You get to really do the things you love. You get to be rejected and also succeed at the same time.
So what are all the things, as an entrepreneur, what are all the things you're doing? What's a typical week look like?
My typical week looks like a lot of meetings. I'm on the phone all the time, cold calling customers to get them excited about Mentor City. I go out and do a lot of demos to show potential employers the product and talk about mentoring. So I'm always talking about mentoring, learning new and great best practices that are evolving. And just getting people really excited about the concept and the potential.
It is a hot topic, and I know a lot of employers are thinking about formal mentoring programs, and then informally we have a lot of mentoring relationships just forming on their own. What does Mentor City do to facilitate that?
So Mentor City is an online mentor matching platform. So basically anyone can log on to the site and fill out a profile and then search for a mentor. The site's going to match you to about 7 potential mentors, and then you can reach out to them. And it takes you through this neat process. So you'll have an initial 15-minute conversation to see if there's good chemistry. And then you'll establish a formal or informal relationship with the mentor. And from there, you're going to learn, your eyes are going to be opened, and the journey will start.
So it really depends on how many people actually use the platform, how many people are there, so that you can get a good match. How is the uptake so far?
Uptake is really good. So there's hundreds of people on the site. There's some really neat relationships. Recently, I had an internationally trained doctor that went on the site and actually got connected to 2 different doctors. And he said that mentoring has been the catalyst for change in his life from the advice that he received on the site.
That is awesome. Great. We're talking to Sean Mintz here. He's the founder of Mentor City, and we're going to talk a little bit about his site and how he got here in his career. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on Career Buzz, CIUT 89.5 in the Greater Toronto Area and worldwide online at CIUT.fm. So, Sean, take me back. How did all of this happen here? I mean, people don't necessarily start out from high school thinking they're going to open a mentoring platform. What did you do? What did you study in post-secondary? What happened earlier in your career?
Yeah, so I'm trained as a career counselor. And I did that for about 5 years. And then at the organization that I worked for, I decided that I became very passionate about marketing. And I created a marketing department for that organization. And mentors taught me everything that I needed to know about marketing. So I had a person that was in PR that helped me with press releases. I had a fundraiser mentor that taught me the secrets of raising money. Somebody else taught me about public speaking and how to be good at that. So mentors meant everything to me in my career development. And that's one of the reasons I became very passionate about mentoring. The other thing is that I've been doing mentoring for 10 years, and I came up with some innovative mentoring programs. And we did these programs 3 or 4 times a week. And I would just watch the mentors and mentees interact, and the rapport was built instantly. The passion on people's faces, how they felt, everybody that participated in an event left inspired. So the mentees felt that they could take on the world. The mentors felt that they've given back, but they've also learned a lot and had their eyes open to new talent and new ideas. So that's what those 10 years of mentoring experience and seeing how impactful it is, that's why I built the site.
So it came really naturally, almost organically, this idea. Just before we move to the transition from working for somebody else to working for yourself, it was interesting that you said that mentors have meant so much to you through your career. You mentioned marketing and public speaking. Can you give the listeners here one example of how a mentoring relationship formed, maybe naturally, because maybe there wasn't a formal mentoring organization within your workplace, but what's an example of how you formed a mentoring relationship that made a difference?
Back then when I was transitioning into marketing, what I did is I reached out to people and I gave them a call. I asked them for a few minutes of their time, and that's what began that mentoring relationship. And some of them were very short, so I may have met with them for an hour. And then followed through and kept them in my network. But some of them are ongoing mentors. So if there's a new challenge that's come up in my career, I have a whole group of people that I could give a call to and that are there for me. So I feel very, very fortunate to have had amazing mentors in my life. And that's why I recommend that everybody kind of gets involved with this and learns from a mentor. And there might be formal programs that you could join. You could join Mentor City, and there's lots of other amazing mentoring initiatives, but there's also great ways that you could go out there and find a mentor and approach a mentor and make that work for yourself.
So I'm going to get some advice from you later in the interview about how to form mentoring relationships, but let's look at your transition here, stepping away from an employment role where you're getting a paycheck, regular pay, it's all... you know, what many people are used to in their work, and to step away from that, as we've heard from other Career Buzz guests here, takes a certain amount of courage, a willingness to embrace risk. What was it that led you to the point where you really thought, I'm going to do this?
Well, I've always dreamt about being an entrepreneur, and I had that bug for years and years and years. And in my last place of employment, I was able to be an entrepreneur, and I was able to build or be part of building this amazing organization. But that bug was still there, and it was something that I knew that I had to achieve. So I felt that where I was in my career and working for somebody else, I was at a point where I achieved some amazing things, and I wanted to try something totally different and finally realize that dream of being an entrepreneur and building something new.
What age were you when this idea started to really formulate?
The Mentor City idea?
And the idea of opening up your own entrepreneurship, your own entrepreneurial venture.
I think as a kid, because my family was a family of entrepreneurs, and they still are. I would have been the fourth generation in my family business. And it was about selling arcade machines. So that business wasn't the right business for when I was old enough to get into it because of changing trends and things like that. But just growing up with a family of entrepreneurs has I think that's why I've always had that in my mind.
So lots of family of origin influence in this.
Yeah.
But then what age was it for you when you stepped away from your formal employment and started your own business?
Okay, so I'm 37 now, so I started my own business a year ago.
Uh-huh. And how is it? You know, there's a sort of mid-career reality, and if listeners are thinking maybe in their 20s and 30s and 40s, what's the difference, do you think, between doing that when you're in your mid-30s versus earlier or later?
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about this one. Like, there's a lot of books about that it's better to start your own business in your 20s. But for me, and it's better if you don't have a family and kids, and I have a family, an amazing family and kids, but I felt that it was the right time for me to start at 37 because I've learned so much from my career and some of the lessons that I've learned in my career and some of the mistakes. And I could bring that all those lessons into this new business so I don't make as many mistakes.
We're talking to Sean Mintz here. He's the founder and president of Mentorcidia, online mentoring platform here on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on CIUT 89.5 FM and worldwide at CIUT.FM. So Sean, you at 37, you stepped away from the world of work and you had this idea. And how did that start, right? People are interested in startups. We hear so much about startups. Yours is an online startup. It requires funding. It requires a good idea. It requires leadership. It requires a whole bunch of things. How did you get started?
Well, last January, I started writing a book about mentoring. And then a few months later, I was like, how do I turn this book into a business? And then I was thinking about that there's a lot of books about mentoring, but there's not really anything out there that does the matching for you. And I think mentoring is so important, and people may not have somebody in their network that they can reach out to. So kind of on the same lines as an online dating site, I wanted to create an online mentoring site. So that idea came to me last April, and then I was planning on how do I actually make this happen? So I was just thinking about the business plan, thinking about how to make money from this business. So creating a really comprehensive business plan. And then eventually I felt that it was the right time to make that leap into being a small business owner.
Financing, money, right? Like, you know, it's an important thing to develop your product, and that takes money. And then it also requires you to support yourself as you go through it. How did you deal with that?
Yeah, it's, I think money is, so what I did personally is I've risked a lot in this, but I really believe in it, and I'm very, very confident in its success. So what I've done is I've used my home line to finance the business. But right now I have angel investors that are interested and other people that are interested in the business. So I'm exploring possibly taking money from an angel investor to bring the business to the next level. Which will be very exciting.
So you mentioned a home line. Like, you're actually using some money, borrowing money against your house to finance some of this at the early stage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I did it. I don't know if it's the best thing to do, but that's the way that I felt that I can make this dream into reality.
Talk for a minute about the impact of a decision like this. It's a career and life decision. You have a family, yeah, and that's going to have an impact on them. Talk a little bit about the personal side and the decision making from a personal point of view to do this.
You know what? When I came up with this idea, I had so much support from everybody, from my wife, my family. And I don't know if that's always the case. So I think I came across this idea that was great, and everybody was supporting me in this decision. And even with two kids, people saw that there's a lot of potential in this business. So I think having all that support, all those people saying, yes, it's a great idea, helped me, because I was very comfortable in my last job, and I could have stayed there for many more years. But it was time. It was really time.
It's so interesting. I think a lot of listeners would resonate with that. Many people have the big idea, you know, and they just don't know if they have what it takes to make that step away. There's a sense of courage. I think there's also a sense of support. And what I'm hearing is that your family support really facilitated your step away from the security of the job into this other world. And so how's it going? How's business?
It's... you know what? I always think of it as you're a fighter. So some days you're knocking them out, you're succeeding, and other days you're losing. But over the last month, and after 1 year of really, really hard work, things are starting to pay off. So I remember like a week or 2 weeks ago, I got a few paychecks or a few checks from customers. And I went to the bank. I said, you know what? Being an entrepreneur is the best thing ever. I mean, to like actually see that tangible come true after a year's worth of work, and everything starts to pay off. So the business is at a really good level. I have almost about four contracts signed up and more to come. A lot. I've been hitting the ground running. So I really see a bright future.
So the contracts and these checks that came in, how is it working? Is it actually from corporations who are using this internally?
Yeah, so it's for corporations that are looking to establish a mentoring program. So it could be about leadership development, about diversity, about succession planning. And it's also, I've also created mentoring platforms for colleges, and I'm also exploring for universities. So that's more for their students and their alumni to get connected to one another.
Can you tell us a little bit about who has signed up, either companies or institutions, or at least the kinds of companies or institutions?
Yeah, so Seneca was the first to sign up. I was actually with them at the Premier's Awards this week, which was an amazing celebration to celebrate college students and the remarkable things that they've done. And George Brown College, we're just about to get their site up and running, which is really neat, and a couple corporations as well. Uh-huh. So in the retail and in the engineering sectors.
Great. So these are students now who can sign up and be part of this and maybe get connected to alumni or others. Yeah. Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's great. We're talking to Sean Mintz here. He's the founder of Mentor City on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on CIUT .fm worldwide, or 89.5 FM if you're in the GTA. So tell us a little bit about mentoring itself. Sean, we've been talking a little bit about your own business. What are some best practices in mentoring in terms of identifying what you want? If listeners are thinking, gee, wouldn't it be great if I had a mentor? How do we determine what we want in a mentor? And how do mentors decide whether they have anything to offer to become a mentor themselves?
Yeah, well, I think it's really looking at yourself, looking at what do I want to achieve today? What's my objective? What are my goals? And then what kind of mentor could really help me achieve those goals? So you might want to start to think about what kind of industry they're in, how much experience do they have, what's their job function. You might have a preference if it's a male or female that you're being mentored on. So really start to visualize that person so that you have a clear idea of who you could talk to about being your mentor. The other thing I was thinking about on my way here today is this whole give and take relationships. So I've been helped a lot, but I'm also giving back. So later on today, I'm meeting an IT entrepreneur that's also starting a web application. And it's all about getting involved with this amazing series of give and take relationships and paying it forward. For a mentor, it's really about if you have, it's about sharing your expertise, sharing your knowledge, sharing what it took for you to get to where you are today. And a lot of people may not know if they're a good mentor, but you might be a really good mentor if you could just share your story with somebody, because those stories are what have a huge impact and inspire people in ways that they may not even have imagined.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that's why Career Buzz exists, yeah, is to share stories like yours. And that's what we do in our Career Cycles practice, is talk to people about their stories. I'm curious about the being a mentor. There's this one really interesting statement you make on your website about being a mentor, right? Because I was thinking about that. And it says, can you offer advice only if asked? I thought that was really interesting, only if asked, because I think people think about mentoring and just kind of blurting out a lot of advice and telling people what to do. And I think the point that you're trying to make on the website is, can you be a good listener and only tell your opinion if somebody asks for it, and otherwise kind of shut up and let people get, you know, use you as a sounding board instead of as an advisor? Is that what you meant on the website?
Exactly. I think it's really important to, as a good mentor, to have really good listening skills, to have a really good focus on that individual, and to provide that customized feedback that the individual is looking for. I know some mentors might have a whole slew of experience to share, but is that what's really going to help that mentee to achieve what they're looking for? So to provide that, that's the unique thing about mentoring, is that somebody's there with a very specific purpose and you're there to help them achieve that specific purpose. And so that's the other best practice. Maybe if a mentee reaches out to you and you're not the right mentor, then it's okay to say, maybe here's somebody else that might be able to speak with you a little bit more about that topic.
Right on. We're going to actually be talking about this topic a little later on in the show with Melissa Rodway when we do Career Buzz Conversation. So listeners, if you have a comment or question about what's going on, I'm going to give you the phone numbers in a little bit, or you can send an email and we can have a look at it and Sean can respond. It's Mark with a K at careercycles.com. Mark with a K, careercycles.com. Sean, finally, from your own story and all the twists and turns and the things that you've told us here about stepping away from the world of employment to entrepreneurship, what can you share with listeners about what you've learned about making good career and life choices?
Yeah, so it's something I think we were talking about a little earlier. It's about really thinking about when you get advice, is all advice good advice? So to really, and are all decisions good at decisions? And maybe not. Like, I know I've made my share of bad decisions. But what it is like a final tip is when you get a piece of advice, really evaluate that advice, kind of rate the advice, and then figure out, is that something that you want to implement in your life? And then, but also trust your intuition. So if a piece of advice is telling you that there's anything wrong with that advice, you may not want to move forward with it. And that's going to help you make better career and life decisions, really trusting your intuition before you get excited about putting something into place.
Great advice, Sean. And finally, if people want to find out more about you and Mentor City, where do they go?
Yeah, you could go to www.mentorcity.com.
And can people sign up as a mentor without paying, like the corporations buy? Is there a fee to become a mentor or a mentee?
No, there's no fee. So you could actually, it's for free. So you could go on to mentorcity.com and sign up as a mentee and a mentor and get engaged in a series of really neat and meaningful mentoring relationships.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Thanks, Mark.
So you've been listening to Career Buzz on 89.5 FM in Toronto, CIUT.FM. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, and we're going to move on in the show to our second interview with Luis Figueroa. From an early age, Luis knew he wanted a career in music. In 2004, he moved to Toronto to study jazz foundations at Humber College. Half a dozen albums later, with a tour of Ireland behind him, Luis is moving his career forward as a drummer for neo-psychedelic gypsy rock group Arizona Lily and guitarist for Duck Duck Goose Band. Plus, Luis works as a music teacher and specialty taco maker. Welcome to Career Buzz, Luis.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you for having me here.
So what do you like about all the things you're doing in your career?
Oh, so I guess it'd be a better question to ask what I hate about it, because there's really not much at all. I enjoy what I do on all fronts, I think. It's very rewarding. I know I was born with a gift in music, so I felt like I needed to give that back a little bit.
Right on. Well, we're going to hear a couple of pieces of your music in today's interview. Before we get there, though, what are the skills and strengths to pull off a career in music and in teaching? What do you need to be good at?
Well, I guess the first thing would be just a little patience, I would assume. I guess the skill would have to be there. I did, after high school, take my level of music to, you know, Humber College to study jazz. So that was something that I felt like I needed to do to gain my strengths. Excuse me. But it's very rewarding. I guess the patience is one thing, and persistence, I guess, right? You know, there was some ups and downs in the whole first couple of years of doing the teaching. Didn't think that, you know, I was very good at it, but I guess people stuck with me, and that was my sign of reward. Right?
And how do you split your time now? If listeners are interested in somebody who's now moving forward in a, let's call it more a creative career, because we may have visual artists listening, we may have performance artists or musical artists. How do you split your time between the performing, recording and performing, and then teaching, and then other things to pay the bills?
Agreed. Well, I was lucky enough to have a schedule with the teaching that was, I guess, between a block of, you know, after school 3:30 to 9 o'clock thing. So having all this daytime kind of gave me an idea of, well, I should be doing something with my time, right? So that's where Burrito Banditos came in and kind of putting myself into the workforce like that.
Burrito Bandito, so that's the specialty taco maker.
You know it.
So you've got like a part-time job there? How many hours a week do you work there?
I think between the week and the weekends, I'm pulling about 70 hours, maybe every 2 weeks, 65.
Right, so 35 like hours a week, so almost a full-time job, really.
Almost, right? Peak time, something like that. Keep my time occupied. I mean, if it wasn't for that job, I'd be at home doing, you know, playing music, doing nothing.
And then how much time do you spend teaching?
Well, that would be, I guess, between, with my 22 students a week, I would say, you know, 23 hours a week, right?
Wow. And then on top of that, you're still playing gigs around town?
Yeah, yeah. You know, so it's a busy life. I can't say anything else about that, right? But it keeps me occupied, and I don't feel overworked, I don't think.
All right. So now, just before we get into your career story, I wanna have a listen to a piece of music that you brought. So I know you're in two bands, or at least two bands. I mentioned two at the outset here. I think we're going to hear first. Which one? From Arizona Lily?
I think we're going to do Duck Duck Goose.
Yeah.
First.
So just set this up. What are we going to hear, and what's the story behind it?
Well, we're going to hear a band I've been kind of creating with a friend of mine, Derek, since, well, I don't know, about 6 years ago. Just kind of stuck together with Derek, and, you know, had this vision for this band. You know, kind of succeeded at one point and failed. Now we have this band going, and I think we really have the chemistry right, and I think we're going to take it to the top. You know, hopefully, do as much as I've done before with other bands and touring and trying to hit Europe and all this, and it's a great scene over there. But yeah, we're gonna hear Sunny, and it's something that I think we've been very proud of. Yeah.
All right, let's have a listen.
Business or offer a special service? Are you looking to raise awareness? Do you want to find like-minded people who might be interested in what you have to offer? CIUT 89.5 FM can help. Find out how by emailing CIUTsales@gmail.com or calling 416-978-0909 extension 208.
From the roots up. CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
And we're back at Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. I'm practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at careercycles.com. Before continuing with today's show and interviews, two things. First of all, I want to let listeners know there is an amazing archive of Career Buzz inspiring career stories for you to listen to. If you click the Career Buzz button at careercycles.com, you'll get the richness of something like 200 to 300 interviews that we've done in the past. Just last 2 weeks ago, we were talking to Leia Eichler, who's the Globe and Mail Women at Work columnist, and she had some fascinating things to say about her new enterprise, as well as everything you need to know as a woman about business news and why business news needs to change. So I'd encourage listeners to have a look at her interview. It was quite interesting at the Career Buzz button at careercycles.com. Now, I'm also joined with today with one of our past Career Buzz guests. Stephen Scatini was on the show a year or two ago, telling us about his astonishing career story from leaving his roots in England to becoming a monk in Tibet or India. Where was it, Stephen?
It was in India and Nepal and Sri Lanka.
Yeah. And then why he quit being a monk and moved back to the Western world, and he lives and works in Montreal. So, Stephen, I'm glad you're here for a few minutes to tell us about something really exciting coming up today. So welcome back to Career Buzz.
Thank you very much, Mark. Thanks for squeezing me in on your show today.
Right on.
I'm speaking this evening or late this afternoon at 5 o'clock. It's a talk at... just a second, I've got the information right here.
I think it was at New College, and it was a bit more about the memoir.
It's about the memoir, yeah. It's at the Lash Miller Building, room 161 at 5 o'clock. And it's entitled, How the Buddha Taught Me to Let Go of Buddhism. And it's part of the Buddhism and Science series at the University of Toronto. It's being put on by Tony Toniato. So I'm going to be talking about my experience why I became a Buddhist monk, but especially why I quit. And the emphasis here is that it was by following my intuition of what the Buddha was really talking about that caused me to leave Buddhism. You know, a lot of people think of Christianity and Christ as being, well, they're not quite the same. They're not quite congruent sometimes. Christians behave in ways which are not very Christian, and Buddhists, too, are not necessarily following exactly what the Buddha taught. The institution is something different from the reason that I went in there, I guess. And what I discovered was that I had to leave.
And it was such an inspiring career and life story. And I'd encourage listeners to have a listen. You know, I don't remember the date of that interview, but if you look up The Novice on careercycles.com, you would catch the interview with Stephen Scatini. And he talks about these changes and what led him back to away from Tibetan Buddhism and into the world of work, where you're doing a lot of interesting things right now in your home base in Montreal. Stephen, what are you doing?
I'm doing a lot of things, actually. When I first arrived in Montreal 25 years ago, I got into graphic arts and communication. I'm now mostly blogging. And I'm connecting with people who are in very similar situations to me, who have found themselves involved in Buddhism and who are looking for a way to reclaim their personal identity, in a sense, to find their way out. So it's not just about Buddhism. It's about connecting with what really matters to you and pursuing that goal, even though everyone else around you is telling you that it's wrong. That you should be doing something else.
We, in fact, have two career stories today that are, I think, exemplifying exactly what you've just said.
I think everybody can relate to that.
So that's great. Now, again, the actual talk, you said Lash Miller Building. Now, that's on the U of T campus.
That's right.
I believe it's got a St. George address, but you can look it up. And I believe it was part of New College. Is that right? It was the new College Speaker Series?
That's right. It's at 80 St. George Street.
So 80 St. George Street, yeah. If listeners want to find that, you can get off at the St. George subway station and walk southbound. Room number, Stephen?
Room number 161. You just go in the front doors and it's right on the left, immediately on the left.
And 5 or 5:30? What time was it?
At 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock today.
From 5 till 7, yeah.
And that's Wednesday, November 28th, 5 o'clock at Lash Miller. So I'd encourage listeners to go have a listen to Stephen. I'm sure it's going to be a fascinating talk. And do listen to the interview, if you'd like, on the Career Buzz archives at careercycles.com. Fascinating interview, fascinating author. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So we're going to continue on with our interview with Luis Figueroa, who was telling us about his music career. Now, we listened to a piece of music of his a few minutes ago. And, Luis, I just want to come back now to your career story. Take me back. How far back does your love of music go?
Well, I guess it would have started in junior high school. You know, I started playing instruments then, teaching myself. I tried to get a teacher. He wasn't very reliable, so I just kind of left him and did it myself. Ever since then, playing with bands, keeping myself invested into high school music, a lot of musicals and competitions like that, and then evidently sparking a drive to take it to post-secondary level. So always been invested in music. I've known from an early age what I wanted to do, I think.
So even that key transition to from high school to post-secondary, if we have some high school students listening or parents of high school students, what can you say about the frame of mind that you had leaving high school and how sure you were, because students are often not sure at all what to do, how sure you were about what you wanted to do, what other options you might have considered and discarded before you said, yes, I'm going to do this Jazz Foundations at Humber?
Yeah, I was a bit confused after high school. I mean, I did take the year off, which was about a half a year, and then just I figured I invested into going into workshops at Humber College and get my feet wet into the school. And I enjoyed it a lot that I did what I had to do to get into the school.
Wow. So you actually had some courses before you signed up full time. So it was a try before you buy scenario.
That's exactly what it was, yeah.
Wow. How's that? Do you advise that?
Of course. You know, it made me love the school. I kind of met the teachers ahead of time. And, you know, I guess I would recommend it to anybody, you know, who's kind of confused and doesn't really know what to do. Obviously, music is a career that, you know, people are kind of thinking, well, am I going to make money or... I'll just be playing shows my entire career, right? So yeah, I would recommend it to anybody who's thinking about it. I mean, you know, the teaching is one way. There's session work. There's a lot of things that you could do with it. So yeah, just positive thinking, I guess, right?
What did you hear from your peers at Humber, especially as you were about to graduate? Mm-hmm. You know, some people are graduating from, let's say, more traditional areas that seem to have a direct connection into the world of work. You know, we're here at the University of Toronto campus. We might have students studying, say, law or engineering. And it looks like there's a more direct link. I don't think that that's actually true, but it looks like there's a more direct link between post-secondary and then the world of work. In music, it's a little more freestyle. What were you hearing from your peers about next steps after the post-secondary program?
Well, I always heard, I mean, I had friends that were going to school who were just, you know, getting cruise ship gigs and all this kind of stuff, gigging, a lot of session work, and I didn't really hear too much of the teaching aspect, so... You know, I kind of, I had a friend of mine, Rebecca, who initially started her business and who has now actually has a school of piano teachers that she's hired on. So really just looking at people that are tangible and close to me, knowing that they're doing it and kind of taking their confidence and using it for my own, you know?
What fraction do you think of the students who graduated with you are actually pursuing their careers in music?
I wouldn't know that percentage, but I would assume, I would hope a lot of them. I mean, I know a lot of them would be doing session work, and jazz is very particular, and they, you know, a lot of gigs are out there for really good jazz players. So, you know, I'm sure they're keeping busy, and not sure if they're doing the teaching thing like I am, but it's always
an option. So you graduated, you got out there, this was a number of years ago, and you've been moving forward ever since. How did it go at the beginning? What was your frame of mind? What was your mindset as you started into the career of music?
Well, I guess the questions are always there, whether it's, you know, am I doing what is to be done? Am I good enough and all this, you know? But after seeing clients keep coming back, after year, I just, you know, assumed that I was doing something right. So taking that confidence with me was exactly what I needed to do, I think.
What was a first big break, something that happened that you really thought, okay, this is now working. I've got some clues from the universe that this is where I'm supposed to be.
I guess really seeing some of my students become some really excellent musicians and just understanding that some people just have these gifts born with it, you know, and really wanting to shape that was something that I really got into for sure.
And the tour in Ireland, how did that come about?
Oh man, yeah, that was great. There's a lot of festivals in Toronto that are, you know, North by Northeast, Canadian Music Week, Indie Week. Indie Week was the one that took us there, and they have, I guess, some sort of thing worked out with Ireland that they do competitions there. So we won second place, I believe, and I guess everybody really enjoyed the music at the time. The band was Balaclava. They're still playing. And yeah, we took it to Ireland. It was very great, funded by the government of Canada too. So,
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really good. It's really good. You know, there's all those programs out there that people don't really know about that, I mean, great for Canada and musicians, right?
What was that program? If listeners are curious, do you have the name of it?
It was a grant coming from maybe Video Fact, was it? It was, yeah, you know, I don't think I was involved in that aspect. I mean, the piano player in my band at the time was the one dealing with all the managing of that. So I didn't really get involved, but I know it happened.
What are you wanting in your career in music?
I guess longevity, I guess. I mean, I'm just hoping to do this for as long as I possibly can. You know, trying to inspire as many people. It's very rewarding in that sense. So I don't see it as work. You know, it's not necessarily something that's, you know, stressful on my life. You know, it's very easy, comes to me very easy. So, yeah, I if anybody's thinking of music as a career path, I would definitely recommend it.
And I guess some people would be thinking, gee, I want to be famous. We live in a culture of celebrity, and music is one area that people do break through. Is that what you're aiming for? Do you want to break through with one of your bands? Is that sort of the end point of all of this? Or is it, do musicians just find this kind of zen place where they're happy doing some performance, doing some recording, doing some teaching? Like, what's the balance between those two?
Well, I mean, I think if it starts getting to your head a little bit and you're thinking you just want to be famous and that's the only reason you're playing music, I don't think that's the right thing to do. You know, I mean, it's getting the guys together and having a good time, having good chemistry, and evidently, you know, making good music, you know, having that sense of pop where you want everybody else to hear it, but evidently making yourself happy, I guess, in the end. Not really just... Fame isn't really there in the end of the path for me. I don't know. If we get famous, that's fine, but, you know, it's not something we're wanting to be at the top.
Wow, you sound pretty relaxed about your musical career.
Yeah, it's fun.
So, finally, Lewis, we're going to play one more piece of music, but I'd like to hear what you have to say about what you've been learning about making choices, about making career and life choices that you can share with listeners from your own personal experience.
Well, I've definitely, it's been a learning curve since the past 5 years that I've been doing this. Every year it keeps getting better. But I would say to listeners and people who are aspiring to do what I do is to keep at it. You know, a lot of people can be negative about it and tell you, you know, well, music, it's not something that you can make money with, but that's not true. Just to push forward, I guess, right? Keep the patience. That's one thing I think is very important.
Patience and persistence. Those are the two that you said at the outset, right?
You got it.
Now, if listeners want to find out more about the two bands, how do they do that?
You guys can go to duckduckgoose.band.com and arizonalily.com, both bands that I'm very proud of. Yeah, and we have a show coming up on Wednesday, December 1st, I believe, at Rancho Relaxo.
And if people are interested in learning some drums or guitar or bass, how do they do that?
I guess, you know, I've been a little lazy in the whole maybe getting a website up and all this. And I mean, I've established a business and all this, but it's been kind of word of mouth from to this point. So,
all right. So contact us at Career Cycles. I should say that I did take guitar lessons from Lewis and learned some wonderful guitar licks that I've been practicing ever since. So thanks for helping me learn a little bit more guitar.
No problem. Anytime, Mark.
All right. Just before we come to a piece of music, Louis, I just want to say goodbye to Stephen Scatini, who is here telling us a little bit about this event. Stephen, also, if people want to find out more about you and read up on your story, how do they do that?
They can take a look at my blog, thenakedmonk.com.
Excellent, thenakedmonk.com. And we'll put a link to that on our website under today's show at Career Buzz, the Career Buzz button under careercycles.com. Louis, just set us up. We're going to have one more piece of music here. What are we going to listen to?
We're going to listen to Arizona Lily. Been together for about a couple of years. Rhonda Murdoch, Jessica Ward, and Michael Field. Some really great players. Rhonda is a great musician and a writer. We're going to be listening to Sunbeams.
All right. Louis, thank you so much for joining us on Career Buzz.
Thanks for having
Here's
me.
Here's Sunbeams. Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, practice leader of professional career counseling team at careercycles.com. We were just listening to a piece of music from Louis Figuero, and we were hearing his band, Arizona Lily. I'm pleased to have Melissa Rodway back with us for a new feature of Career Buzz. We're calling it Career Buzz Conversations. Welcome back, Melissa.
Hello, Mark.
So what we're trying to do here is take a weekly topic and turn it into a conversation that you can join in on by phone or by email. This week's topic, career advice from coworkers or mentors. And call in or email with your comments or questions as Melissa and I spark the conversation. So the numbers to call if you want to join us on air with a comment or question is 416-946-7000, 416-946-7000, or Mark with a K at careercycles.com. Melissa, what is your experience with career advice from coworkers?
I find that coworkers have a very good reflection about who you are. And I found that for me, they brought things out that I was doing that I maybe didn't even know I was doing. So they would say to me, Melissa, you have great leadership skills, or you're really good with people, those sorts of things that maybe I didn't see. And that sometimes sparked me to start looking for jobs that perhaps I wouldn't have looked for before. I also found with some of my coworkers, they would sort of see me and someone else that they knew that was doing a different type of career and say, oh, you're a lot like this person. Maybe this would be something that you'd be interested in. You should talk to them. So it was just more of that, like taking personality and seeing traits and equating them to what other people were doing to give you more ideas of what was actually out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also found that I just find that, you know, people are, if you're looking, probably other people are looking for jobs too in a company. And so they're going to send stuff that speaks to them about you that maybe you didn't even come across. And even bosses sometimes would be like, you know, Melissa, This is maybe an industry to think about that you haven't thought about before.
Those are the bosses who want to get rid of you and
well,
tell you to
not,
go job
let's
search.
Let's not go there. But those are the things for me that were really helpful. If I was in a new job and I was saying to some coworkers, something isn't working about this, and talk to them about it, and they're like, Melissa, it's just not you. Like, that's not who you are, what you brought to the table.
Yes.
But I'm interested in what your experience has been with coworkers, what you've learned from them.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories too, both my own stories, and now I've heard a lot from clients as well. I think, like we were talking to Sean earlier in the interview, it's really good to talk things over with trusted allies. And it's funny about trusted allies. I was thinking about that term. You know, you work in a workplace, and some people you just get along with better than others. What is it? You know, the people you feel drawn to, and you kind of go into their office, or they come to your office or cubicle or whatever. And you just end up talking things over. I don't even think I would have ever used the word mentor, even though we were talking about mentoring.
Yeah.
Before, I would just call them, and I wouldn't have used the word trusted allies either. I mean, that's a term I use now as a career professional. I mean, I would have called them friends, you know, coworkers
who are friends.
And I think the best ones are the ones who can listen and draw you out. I liked what you said a moment ago, Melissa, that sometimes they can spot strengths that you yourself didn't see.
Right.
I think that's one of the very best things that they can do. And sometimes they're just there to listen. And I remember one, this guy, Jim, who I used to work with in my first job in the world of engineering. And we had this great opportunity to live and work in Europe. And the question for both of us was how long were we going to stay and when we were going to go. And there was, I just remember having that whole conversation about a very big career and life choice.
Right.
And being able to talk it over with somebody who kind of sees it from the inside was super helpful.
Yeah.
Right. So I remember that, and I was always grateful for that conversation. One of those conversations with Jim, you know, he didn't say what to do.
No.
Right. It's not advising. It's more drawing you out. So.
And with those allies too, they know a little bit about your life outside of work too. So they see the whole picture, right, about what works for you and where you want to go and what would make you happy in and out of a job. So it's important to have that.
Would you have called it mentoring? Like I used the words trusted allies and mentors, but then friends. What words do you use to describe all this stuff?
No, for me, I'm more of an ally person. I haven't really jumped into the whole mentor thing because for me, it feels very formal. And I think that's a misconception around it. I have used people or talked to people that were doing something I found interesting or I wanted to know about how they got there and what was happening, pros and cons, mistakes they'd made, how they felt about it now. But I've never been with somebody who I checked in with them, I made sort of goals with them, and that's something that I should look into more, I think. I think that's a huge opportunity for networking and job opportunities. So I'm wondering what your advice would be about that sort of area.
Yeah, and I'd like to hear listeners too, if they have, if you have a comment or question about what we're talking about here or what we heard earlier in the show with Sean from Mentor City, do give us a call, 416-946-7000. With a comment or question, it's pretty easy. Just pick up the phone or you can email me with a question or comment. Again, it's Mark with a K at careercycles.com. So, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. I think that mentors and other trusted allies can help not only spot strengths, but confirm strengths.
Yeah.
I think this is another thing that happens is that we don't have confidence in our own skills or strengths. We kind of think we're okay at something. And then somebody says something to you and you kind of know that you have that skill. Gee, you're really good at building these models or you're really good at writing reports. And when you hear it from somebody else, you know, it wasn't like a brand new thing, you knew it, but it somehow confirms it. It gives you a sense of confidence that makes you more, it's kind of like a springboard, you know, you jump down on a springboard and it kind of puts energy into it so that you can spring off faster.
Absolutely.
And it seems to me that that's something that we don't necessarily ask for, but we sometimes get because somebody gives us that feedback. Maybe we got indoctrinated into it at school, you know, like teachers give you a good mark and you feel like, gee, you know, I didn't think I was good at math, but wow, I just got 86% on my test and I must be good at math.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is that your experience? Did you ever find that somebody kind of amplified something that you already knew?
I feel like people are telling me things about myself all the time that I do or do not want to know. So, it's always great when someone's telling you something you didn't realize about yourself that you're doing well. But it's also those people that, as you're mentioning earlier, you don't click with everybody. So sometimes there are those people who are also telling you things about yourself that you have to pay attention to as well, right? Because when you have great friends at work who are saying you're good at this, you're good at that, that's wonderful. And that does make you feel more confident. But we've all had people that it's not as easy, that working relationship. And that to me is also telling me that there are certain areas that I do need to work on or improve upon. And that's to me just as telling as the other people.
So strengths and weaknesses, right?
Absolutely. Well,
maybe not weaknesses or blind spots.
Yeah.
We can call it that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny, there's this thing about other people and I think it was Sean, you said at the end of your interview about advice that you were sharing with listeners about to try and check in about advice and see if that advice actually lands, if it's true to you, if you instinctively feel that that's good advice or not. And sometimes we have this situation where sometimes you get good advice or you get good listening, but sometimes you have this thing where somebody tells you what to do.
Mm.
And often you need to have this kind of little radar about, let's call it projection, you know, like, gee, I'm an accountant and I'm happy being an accountant. Hey, Sean, you should be an accountant. Mm-hmm. And they just tell you what you should do based on their own story. They're not able to separate what they're hearing from who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Sean, you're still here talking about this thing. What have you heard about this distinction between good advice and bad advice?
Well, yeah, I think that's a very interesting example that you're providing, like that projection. And I think that might happen quite a bit, because especially in those kind of mentoring relationships where there's somebody that may be senior than you and sees you as they saw themselves when they were just starting out in their career. So they might be thinking about their path and how it's similar to how your path may be. So I think that might be a pitfall that some mentors may get into. But I think if they catch that when that's happening and just really focus on what the mentee is telling them and what they're going through at that time, I think that's a good way to provide that kind of guidance to the mentee. So just really know yourself. And if you start to project as a mentor, maybe a flag will go off in your head and say, oh, maybe that's not what this person's here for at this moment.
Do you give a tip sheet, Sean, to both mentees and mentors, like, you know, stuff to watch out for, stuff to do and stuff to not do as a mentor, so they've got some guidance and some kind of just to deal with these kinds of situations that we're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So there's on the site Mentor City, even if before you have that initial 15-minute chat, there's tips on how to be a good mentee. And then there's tips on how to be a good mentor as well. It's just a really good reminder of some of the basics that you should be doing during that conversation. Some of the questions you should be asking, how to stay focused. That really guides you through that interaction. So it's like a reminder.
Yeah, yeah. Any funny stories from either of you about these kind of crazy bad advice, left turns that, you know, you should have taken right, advice that was followed that shouldn't have been followed?
Yes. actually, my dad was the worst for career advice. So I think that's something, you know, we can all learn from is I think when you want to just help people, you're like grasping at certain things that they should do that you think fit with them. But you have to really look at the whole picture and what someone's really looking for in life. But I think parents sometimes just want you to fix it and find something. My dad wanted me to be like a seamstress. I can't sew. Like all these little things that he just thought, if you just learn how to do this, you'll be fine. So bad advice. Terrible advice.
That's interesting about parents. So,
yeah.
And parents sometimes give bad advice. I mean, maybe it's, I think parents really have their kids' best interest at heart.
They want,
you know, their son or daughter to be happy. They sometimes have a funny way of showing it.
Yeah.
I don't know, would we call that a mentoring relationship? Or what? That's a little bit of a different thing, but it's related, right?
Totally. I mean, it sets you in different paths, right, that maybe you shouldn't be going in. So you have to learn what to listen to and what's true to you. And if you can do that from a young age, then more power to you.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna have to wrap up the show at that, but thanks so much for sharing the perspectives on career advice, Melissa Rodway and Sean Mintz.
Thank you.
So you've been listening to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations here on CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto and CIUT.FM worldwide. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. You can find out more about me at careercycles.com. Other Career Buzz hosts are Angela Fitzgerald, Leanne Sachs, and Mark Swartz. If you have any comments on today's show, please email me. It's mark@careercycles.com. Or if you have topics for Career Buzz conversations, please let me know. Thanks to guests today, Sean Mintz, Luis Figueroa, and Stephen Scatini making a guest appearance, and his